There's something so special about listening to the symphony of sounds coming from my squawk. And I have it set so basic. Like I said, it's just buy, sell. And the voice changes depending on how big the order is or if it's ES or NQ. And hearing them all coming in at the end, sometimes I just listen to it. I'm not in a trade, and there's something about it that is so amazing. And I want to show that to other traders sometimes. I'm like, you just need to listen to this. Like, have you ever just listened to the market?
Welcome to The Sound Trader, a podcast where we explore how real traders are using audio and other senses to navigate the complex and dynamic world of financial markets. I'm your host, Graham, and I've spent years developing audio tools for traders that transform market data into intuitive sound patterns, technically known as market sonification. On this show, you'll hear from traders at every stage in their trading journey, from those just beginning to experiment with audio signals to veterans who have been fine-tuning their sensory approach for decades. In today's episode, I'm excited to be speaking with Gabrielle, known online as Luna Trades, a futures trader and YouTube live streamer who brings a unique musical perspective to day trading. With a studio full of instruments behind his trading desk, Luna represents the perfect intersection of music and markets. You'll hear how Luna uses PriceSquawk's audio alerts to read the tape on ES and NQ futures, filtering for large orders while listening to the symphony of the market close activity. We'll hear about Gabrielle's custom-built trade timers tool that provides audio alerts for candle closes and news events, and dive into fascinating concepts like gamifying trading. Gabrielle shares insights from his 8-month journey of daily live streaming, trading across 22 prop firm accounts, from the musical philosophy behind ambient trading sounds to creative ideas about turning the Dom into a Space Invaders game. This conversation explores how pattern recognition through multiple sensors can enhance your trading edge. So whether you're looking to develop your edge, fine-tune your approach, or are simply curious about different ways to engage with the markets, I believe Luna's experiences will offer valuable insights. So let's dive in and discover how the sound of the market might be the missing dimension in your trading toolkit. I'm talking to Gabrielle. Have I pronounced your name right? And
yep.
Luna Trades.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I go by, my friends call me Gabriel in Spanish, Gabriel or Gabriel or Gabe. But yeah, I go by Luna Trades, and that's my YouTube channel and what I kind of keep all my trading under. The name arrived really randomly, but that's what it's all under.
Yeah, well, you've got a pretty consistent YouTube channel going there. I check in on it every now and then. I met you because you signed up for listening to the markets with PriceSquawk, and I actually have no idea if you're still actually listening to the markets with PriceSquawk, but you're a VIP on my list because of that synth that sits behind you, which one day I'm going to get you to trade for a lifetime license.
Good luck. That's my baby.
Tell us a bit about what's going on in the background there and your musical instruments.
So yeah, I just pretty much have instruments stacked up all behind me. I love my instruments. I never plan on selling them. It's something I've always invested in since I was pretty young. In middle school, I played in some bands and stuff.
Well, you're pretty much the poster child for a PriceSquawk customer with a musical studio that you actively trade from, I believe, consistently every day. So you definitely got that musical background, and you can be honest with me here. Are you still listening into PriceSquawk using that musical ear?
Every day. And I'm actually still using it the same way that I first started. So I'm just using it to kind of read the tape and looking at market orders and sorting them from 5 orders and up pretty much. So I'm just cutting out the noise a little bit. I only see when there's 5 or more. I just kind of landed on that number, and I've kind of gotten used to reading it. And I keep it up right next to my chart, and I have the ES and the NQ up every day while I'm trading, and I've gotten used to it. It actually sounds naked. It sounds empty when I don't have that on. It's not the same. Looking at the chart isn't the same without that. And it kind of
just... Oh, we got you. And I think this happens for musically orientated traders. Once they hear the market, and this is how I ended up creating it. Like, I heard the tape for that that first time. Once, if I pull the markets up without the sounds, it's like there is no market. Like there's...
Yeah. If you don't hear it, is it really happening?
Well, yeah, it's just a different wiring. And so do you, with that musical brain of yours, are you listening into pitch changes or are you just listening to those five lots and above hitting the tape?
I turned off the pitch, and actually my setup right now is so simple. I have three different settings that I use. It's, I mean, I can just break it down very simply. I use the different voices. So there's like the basic female voice and the male voice. So once it's, if it's five and up, it's the male voice saying buy or sell. If it's 20 and up, it is the, or sorry, 50 and up, the female voice saying buy or sell. And then 100 and up, it is... it says large buy or large sell. So that's all I'm listening to, and I'm watching it as well. So I'm also very visual, and so I have it up next to my charts, one of my charts at least, and I'm watching both the ES and the NQ that way and listening. So,
and have you got that saved as a patch, one of the community patches in the web platform?
Yep, that is a patch. If you look up under Luna Trades, I believe it just says NQ market orders and ES market orders. And I cut out everything else, so you don't get any other alerts. It doesn't change pitch with the price change or anything. I'm just really watching for big orders. And but I'm starting to lean on it a little more and more, just watching. Like, I was kind of thinking about adjusting it to a smaller filter than just five, like maybe two or three, just wanting to start to see more of the tape.
Well, it's just information. So talking to your flipper before, he said that over the years he just added higher resolution to the orders because it sounds to me like that's how he's interpreting the market. The more information you get, I guess that can be added to your edge. Do you have directional sounds? Are they going in different ears for buy versus sell?
No, I haven't actually changed any of settings like that. I think right now they're on both ears. If whatever the default is.
You just let that tick along, and that's just a layer of information.
Yep, and I also, I've shared with this before, but I also listen to candle close and other timers using my own tool that I made, and it's kind of, I think, where we kind of had a mutual ground when I showed you that I had also been working on sound-based and visual-based on my website, Trade Timers, and that is just a project I made just for myself because I was trading a strategy that relied on entering it when a candle closed. So I was like, oh, I'd love to be able to hear it. So I can set it so like any amount of seconds before there's a lead-in timer and I know I can get ready for that candle close. Or like if I'm in the kitchen, I can hear like the 15-minute close and come in and look at the candles or whatever, look at the chart.
And what sort of alerts is it? Like, is it speaking out to you candle close, or you've got a jingle or a ding that...
You can actually upload your own audio. So we have preset sounds that my buddy, the developer, Tristan Whitehill, he put in preset sounds. He is a musical wizard. I just do it as a hobby and I just enjoy it. But he's very proficient at many instruments and can play very complicated music and jazz and piano and guitar, everything. So he actually uploaded the sounds, and he's also very musically oriented and graphically oriented. So the timers, though, the function of them are very simple. It's just timer tools. Like, there's probably other versions of these things out there, but we kind of made it for fun. So there's like a simple timer, which you could just set like a 5-minute, like say I'm on timeout. Like today, I actually traded on Tilt this morning. And I had my first like real session of Tilt. Like now I like feel when I'm on Tilt. And I don't really go on Tilt how I used to, but this morning was kind of like my first real Tilt in a long time. And I could use my timers to say, okay, no trades for 5 minutes, you know, lock out, and I set a timer and then it'll alert me at the end. So I have like simple timer like that. I have a news timer, so I could put in a news event and say, okay, CPI at 10:30 or whatever. And I could say, alert me 5 minutes before. And then, so there's the preset sounds, and then you can upload your own sound. So you can actually just hit record and use your mic, or you could upload a sound from your computer. So you could do like a text to speech and upload it, which we're actually just going to add text to speech. But yeah, so it's really simple, but it is cool. You could customize it, or you could I added some text to speech to say 5 minutes to give me a warning before market open, for example. Oh yeah, that's another one of the timers, is open and close bell for the different sessions. So the open bells will give you an alert 5 minutes before. It'll say 5 minutes, and then at the open, it'll ring a bell. So really simple timers. There's probably these things that exist other places, but I couldn't really find them all together.
So the desktop version of PriceQuark, it has the capability where you can input times to get specific alerts. However, I haven't enabled it or developed it into the web platform, but it sounds like you're finding this super useful by the sounds of it. And can anyone use your tradetimers.com? Yep,
anyone can. I know people have tried it. I don't really, I don't think there's that many people using it daily how I am. I do leave it up, but it is still in development. So we've still found some bugs and we're still fixing things. So some of the timers like weren't working right, or when you save the audio, it, for some reason, well, I remember seeing why the way it was ordered, it would put in like, it would duplicate it by how many timers you had. You know, we're still, I'm not actually a developer or a coder, but we're just doing it for fun, and it's a passion project. So we're slowly fixing all these things. And then, I mean, really we're designing it to be used by myself. So it's really what I need. I was trading those candle close times, and the only things I could find was you could put the timer on the chart, but there wasn't anything that was like alerting me. And especially like I want it like 5 seconds before the 2 minute close. So that's a very specific timer, and for it to be synced with the candle time, my buddy figured it out and we made it. So yeah, anyone can use it. You just go to tradetimers.com and you can do a free trial, or if you log in, then you can actually save your timer collection. And I don't know, so it could become something completely different. For now, it's kind of like a dashboard of timers. You can, now we've like slowly added things like you can reorder them, you can edit them now, and we're just slowly rolling out different features. So maybe one day it is something that other people will find value in. For now, there's probably a few people who would want to use it if you use candle close times, for example. But yeah, it's really just for me.
Well, kinda, you'll be happy. I like that. You're yeah, okay I like if that I link to it in the show notes, sure.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't want to tread on your toes with it if I actually include timing in.
Oh, no, go for it.
So my process for the Eurobonds would be, okay, what news is there? I'd set it for 1 minute to the hour if there was news, and have an alert that just said news in 1 minute. And that was my cue to just get the hell out of the market if I was trading.
Which can actually be, that can be a game changer, that could save you. That one little alert, and a lot of traders are very distracted. Right, traders are watching so many different things, and we're having to be on top of all this different information at once, watching news come in. Even these days, we're having to watch tweets, even, or whatever, social media and press and just news. So having those alerts has really helped me, and I'm also someone who's like, I'll have a bunch of different things going on at once in my head. So sometimes something as important as like the New York Open, I literally will be trading and suddenly the New York Open will happen. And those types of things have been a problem for me in my trading. Mixing up accounts, like putting on minis instead of micros or something like that. Like I have a history of kind of mixing up those basic things because I'm trying to do too much at once. So any organizational tool, alerts, visualization, all this type of stuff really helps me stay in flow. Like audio too, I found that I like listening to a little bit of music but not lyrics, and it just helps keep me flowing, moving on to the next. Okay, look at the zoom out, look at the do some top-down analysis. Okay, going back to low time frame. Okay, let's double check the time of the news today. And I just kind of start to flow with it, and all those types of things can just really help prevent making mistakes on, like technical errors, like missing a news event or missing the New York Open, which is hilarious and embarrassing. I've done it live on stream. You know, it's like that was my one job, was to announce, guys, okay, open in 5 minutes, and I'm live streaming, live trading, and these guys are watching me probably like, dude, this guy doesn't even know the Open's about to happen. Look at Ooh. Him. He's like entering a trade right now. So that like putting that New York bell alert on my trade timers, it's taking care of an essential problem that I face in my own trading. So there's probably other people that benefit from it. And I love seeing the visual, the hearing and seeing the tape from Price Squawks. So I have it set really narrow, just right next to my chart, ES and NQ. And with the filter on, unless the market's really moving, it takes it a minute for it to go off screen when I see those orders, with the filter of five or more orders or contracts. So It really helps. I can hear it and kind of still be distracted, and then I can glance back over and see the orders that had happened. And okay, look, there's 50 lots there and price hasn't moved or whatever it is.
People following your live stream, do you think, are they depending on you as an indirect squawk? Like how are they using your stream, do you think?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be that, you know, when we're listening to other traders live, there's a lot of live streamers, a bunch of different brokers are starting their own stream, or companies like NinjaTrader has a stream now, for example, and which I think Price Squawks was your first plugin with NinjaTrader.
Yeah, that's how this pretty much all started, with NinjaTrader.
Yep. So yeah, for my live streams, I kind of hope people aren't coming to my live stream for that. Is like my initial like gut reaction to that question of like, why are people there to get that news? Well, if they were really depending me on that news, as I've kind of hinted at, I'm maybe not the most dependable at that. Like, I think people are really there to be accompanied while they're trading. And as a lot of us find out the hard way, you know, copying other people's strategies and other people's techniques, or like copying other people's trades, like signal services, or if you're going to a YouTube channel that is generally delayed, even if it's 4 seconds, it's still delayed. And a lot of streamers set it for longer. So to help to prevent people from copy trading, streamers will set it to 15 seconds or something like that. I have mine on the minimum, but, you know, it doesn't work. If you're trying to copy trade people, you're never going to really learn. And so I really hope people aren't going there for that, but I think there's always going to be some of that on streaming, and someone might come on and see me make one good trade and they're not feeling confident in the moment. So, you know, I know that people do that. I always ask people not to do that because I know I'm still figuring it out for myself. And especially with futures trading, I have a better history with my swing trading, and that's how I've been a profitable. That's how I've made my money really the past like 7+ years now. But with futures trading and day trading, it's a new endeavor. And so my channel is really about that journey of being in the trenches and figuring it out as I go. Like today I went on Tilt and I had a really bad loss. I was trading prop firm accounts. It was only in one account, luckily for me. So I got off easy and I got to make a little video about it and be transparent. But being on stream while that's happening, I just wanted to shut it off. I just wanted to walk away. I didn't want to show it. I don't want to talk about it. You know, that's the reaction. Yeah. And so my channel is really about that transparency. And I think people have kind of found that. It's kind of just like a safe place for people to come and talk about their trading. And it's smaller, so it's a little more intimate. And I always address people directly in the chat and ask them about their trading and curious where they're at. I'm not there to be the guru. I'm there just to trade and hang out with people. And I think it's actually been making me a better trader.
What's your streak now? I mean, if I go to your live video history, you've been going 6 months or so now.
I started 8 months ago, and yep, I almost have been going live every day. I realized I really liked YouTubing, and I was trying to figure out what would make it work. I don't like editing videos. I don't think that's my strength. If I can just go on and go live and get more views, why would I go edit a video? Edit videos, you could maybe go viral or something. So it's a little different type of strategy. But so I really liked the live, and that's where I was growing my channel. So I pretty much have been trying to stay consistent. And the weeks I'm not consistent, or if I'm changing my times a lot and things, I see the viewership drop off. So I kind of just made that decision because I want to take it really seriously. And I realized that it's a really amazing opportunity while I had a little momentum to have that side business, which I already, you know, made a business for it and treating it as a business. So that means showing up every day. And now I'm actually making money every week from my channel. I'm getting YouTube ad revenue even from a small channel. I have 2,400 people, so it's not very big, but I see how it adds and how it adds up and how it grows. And I'm getting to meet people like you. And I realize now I can reach out to companies and send emails. And I have like, you know, people can just verify who I am and see my channel. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm the best trader or not. It's just that I'm showing up every day and have that consistency.
I was on there the other day and I saw there was an intermission that you kind of set up when you step away from the trading desk. So it's a proper professional setup, which I kind of appreciate. And I do like your background music.
I like that you appreciate that. And I love that there's been other people who've asked me, oh, what song is that? And it's really funny because in the beginning, I realized that it just made it more entertaining and more upbeat. I do think it makes it more engaging. So I like to have the music on, and I'm actually listening to it too. So what I do for the music is a licensing software called Licked Music or Licked.io, something like that. And it's just a licensing company, and a lot of artists submit things. So there might be some mainstream artists, like whatever, you could probably find a Coldplay song on there or any pop music. And so the artists that I'm using are people who I think are making music just for like YouTube videos, and it's like lo-fi beats and different things. So kind of keeping the right tone and the consistency. Like someone once pointed out, like, oh, the music on your channel is very consistent, and I like that better than other streams. And so I think there is something to all those details and what we're listening to and the BPM and the mood. And so I don't like to have these big swings. Maybe I get a song that's really hyped up, and I know that's going to affect my trading for better or for worse, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the traders that I did a few of his webinars, and I was like, oh, so why aren't you using Price Squawk? And he goes, man, I just listen to heavy metal during the trading, and I don't mind metal, but yeah, you'd get ramped up, and then there must be some, he's seasoned, so he can handle it. But for most, you'd want to start trading if you get too hyped up. So you really just want to be in the zone. So I've had this feature request before a few times, and I don't know what you'd make of it. So whatever playlist you've got, just the volume of it tracking the market. So if volatility's up, your playlist gets louder, or inverse, it gets softer. What do you make? What would you think of that?
It to me, that's just a deep, that's a rabbit hole. Because at that point, you could do so much with it. Like, I want the full band. I want the full orchestra. You know, I don't want just the volume. I want, okay, the bass line comes in when this happens. You know, when the, you know, if the, maybe you track volatility with a certain index, or maybe you use something like ATR. And so the ATR is up, the BPM is up. Or so, I don't know. Like, once we start thinking about that, I can't help but really expand on the ideas and think about it on all the different possibilities. Like, you could have each instrument be a different thing.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely love going down that rabbit hole. And the last few weeks, I've actually been completely immersed in trying to create this new widget, which is pretty simple, but it is pretty much an arpeggiator that follows the market. So, like, musicians would get it, or even it's just a single note playing a legato or a chord that's like arpeggiated. I think that would be a really useful and pleasant thing to hear, just where the volume's picking up. So if volume's really low, it's kind of a pulse that happens every few seconds. And as it picks up, you know, it just picks up an activity.
I mean, really, you could change it. You could have it be linked to what you want, just like how you have some of the filters already, like how I filter the market orders. You could probably change the arpeggiator to be linked to different qualities. Like, a lot of people use indicators, so you could have it be linked with something like RSI, or even like distance from a mean or from the EMA. It's like, there's so many cool things. So I had this idea. I don't know. Sorry to cut in with what you're saying, but
no, please do.
With trade timers, since it's been more, it's very visual. So I have like a pie graph kind of that you can see when the timer is going to complete, when the candles are going to complete, because that was really to time these trades. I want to have it all set up already. I want to know how many lots I'm going to fill right when that candle closes. So it really helps me to get ready. I have the, you can change the lead in time. So I could have the lead in time 15 seconds and be like, okay, get my stuff ready. Okay, about where the price is now, I can fill 3 contracts to risk $500. Okay. And so I kind of get ready that way. And then what I was thinking was, so we're starting to do themes for the website. Like, we're going to do a night theme, you know, just a dark theme. And I was like, wow, the background color could change with an indicator or something like this. Because we started to play with webhooks. So we made a server, Tristan made a server that could bounce the webhooks from TradingView to Google Docs to help me with my journaling, because like, I have a strategy that uses RSI. So I actually journal what the RSI is at every trade. So then I future test stuff to then see what was winning the most, you know, like where my longs, if the RSI was lower on my longs, maybe they had a higher win rate or whatever, I look for those things. And so I was wanting to change the background color to certain parameters that would know if I'm at least within certain ranges on certain things. So like, the background could literally be like red or green, and in different hues depending on if we're above or below EMAs. So you could have like four EMAs and the color changes each time you go above a certain EMA on a certain time frame or something. And using these webhooks, it could call the whatever we want from something like the RSI.
Well, that is neat. And I think it's completely worth the time because, I mean, that just adds to your edge. You're getting information differently from other traders. You're doing something unique. And there's a whole spectrum that you can encode information, market information into. So, I mean, it's easy to get carried away.
Yeah, well, a lot of people talk about being what's it called? Would you just have to analysis paralysis or you have, you know, look at keeping it simple, having too many things. Like sometimes like I use the price squawks in conjunction with Bookmap very specifically. So a lot of times I'm listening to the price squawks while I'm watching Bookmap, looking for things like absorption and, you know, just the rate of change of price versus the amount of orders coming through and if they're buys or sells. So I'm getting this direct pattern of the audio while looking at Bookmap is normally how I'm looking at it. And then I glance over and actually look at the tape from the price squawk alerts that I've set next to my chart. So, but all of trading is pattern recognition, right? So I think it's just that double-edged sword, you know, when you got to know when to use it and when not to use it. Like this morning I went on tilt and I probably got entered in some trades because I was looking at the tape and looking at Bookmap when really it was right while Trump was speaking. I had no business trading during that time. And, you know, I went into tilt, I overtraded a little bit, you know, one trade turned into another. Before I knew it, I got chopped up all like in this short period of time while Trump was talking. And in hindsight, I'm like, oh, what am I doing? But so sometimes like maybe I was looking at Bookmap in that situation and thinking it looked really good, but really it was just a no trade time zone because I didn't have my confluences, you know, don't trade during news or something like that. So, you know, I do think sometimes I feel like I need to go back and keep it simpler. But my point to this rant is that trading is just pattern recognition. In the end, like I think discretionary trading offers an edge that no one can deny. When you see a good trader who just looks at it and does their thing using simple analysis or price action or, you know, same strategy anyone else is using, but, you know, they just get a good read on the market and they're, you know, disciplined and follow their plan, all the other things that go along with it, but they have the discretion down and they're just a good trader. So I think that having tools like the price squawk and the audio could definitely increase that pattern recognition. You know, now we have the audio we're used to listening to while the price is moving. And we hear like, if price isn't going down, but we're getting all those sells, you know, then it means something versus, okay, price is going down and we're getting the sells and they're increasing and the volume's getting louder on price squawk. Like that's going to alert my attention to maybe take a short, you know, or maybe I'm waiting. Maybe I want to go for a different type of trade and I'm actually waiting for price to hit a target to then go long. So like these things just increase, I think, pattern recognition, but it's all about how long we use it. Like using Bookmap or the tape, I would tell someone just to leave it on because I thought I was suddenly going to be a better trader from tools like this in the past. Like when I first got Bookmap, I'm like, oh wow, I can see the whole order book.
You can see
now.
A lot.
I see everyone. I know what they're doing. It doesn't mean I'm going to trade better based on it. So I found that in the beginning, it was actually a lot for me. Like I couldn't like use it as a strong confluence compared to now. Sometimes all I'm looking at is Bookmap in a trade. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing that matters once I'm in. And glancing back at the time of sales from Price Squawk. And other times, like I said this morning, because it was during the news or whatever it was, it wasn't a good time for me to be trading solely based on that order flow. So, you know, I think everything can be a double-edged sword when it comes to our indicators and our tools that we're using. But for me just to have it on, and especially something like the price squawk, like it's not really that intrusive. And if anything, sometimes I actually zone it out too much. You know, like if anything, sometimes I need to turn it up because I should have been listening to it. I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. Someone just bought.
Someone's was printing.
Like, yeah. Someone just keeps buying. Like, look, 50 lots. And otherwise, I wouldn't have noticed that someone was filling in a big area where there's absorption. And maybe should start looking for a potential reversal or whatever it is, you know.
Well, it sounds like you might be interested in another proof of concept I've got going. And I'm sure this exists out there, but just an audible tweet follower. So you could follow a few accounts on x.com and as soon as a new tweet occurs, that's announced in your ears. And you can listen out for keywords such as Trump. I mean, it could, there's going to be a hell of a lot of noise, but if I can get it tuned in, do you think that's something that would be useful?
I mean, I think that is inherently useful. A lot of people, like, I just have like certain kind of Twitter squawk services, you know, Twitter accounts that try to be the first to post the news. I have them on alert, so they actually pop up on my phone on my desk while I'm trading.
Yep.
And so I do glance down at them. So that would be a way for me to hear it without doing it. So I think that is something, you know, and if you could set it to only like one, or maybe you only have one account on alert, for example, you're only listening for a specific thing. It's not too much noise.
My thinking is you select which accounts you want to follow, maybe some filtering on keywords, and you can select different voices for different accounts. Anyway, it's all doable and doable very well with some recent advances in text-to-speech. And this is all internally in the browser. So I tried this years ago when the Google speech API came available, and it was super expensive.
I think that's really interesting. It's something I've talked to Tristan about, the developer, a person developing trade timers with me, is possibilities of using text-to-speech to do things like, you know, just basic support and resistance zones. Like sometimes I'll do markups on my chart. And so I might say like, look for sellers here and possibly take profit of my position, you know, and those could just all be read out. I could just click the alert button and that could just be read out to make sure I don't miss it while I'm looking at something else over here.
We could make a fully audible system for you. And then all you have to do, I mean, I'm surprised you don't have a keypad. I forget what it's called. This 2-year flipper guy has one for executing.
Okay, so like this. Oh, wait, hold on. It's tangled up. Uh-oh. I don't know if I'll be able to get this out. It's all tangled. Something like this.
There you go. So you can program that.
That is neat. So here I have a... I have market orders at the top.
Yep.
Oops. No, I'm kidding. I'm not connected. I have limit orders. I have different contracts here, which I just trade NQ. And then flatten all, close, cancel orders, stop at break even. It's a cool one. But yeah, you can pretty much do anything on that. This was designed by Cargo Cult. Shout out Cargo. That's his, I think he's on Twitter, Cargo Cult.
Okay.
I know him from a Discord group, the Market Clubhouse.
And is that a turnkey solution? So you can order that and...
This is actually a private... well, I don't know if he has it released. It might be something available, messaging him literally on Twitter, on Discord or something. But yeah, he made this just for one, for Top Step X, which probably works on any platform X trading platform. But yeah, this just uses a plugin that does like a page manipulator.
Okay.
But now, for example, that platform now released their API. So it's actually probably easier, and maybe you don't need the page manipulator anymore because that was before they had an API.
I like the idea that, well, it's not so much an idea, but gamifying trading. And I had this conversation with 2-Year Flipper, unfortunately, after we'd stopped recording. He was wondering why more people aren't just putting headphones on and sitting there with the attention that you'd play in like a first person online game, because you just think you're in the zone, and I'm not a gamer, but you're in the zone, completely immersed, ready to fire with your shortcut keypad. I mean, it's got to be an edge, right?
Yeah, well, it depends on how you trade maybe, but I met someone in Discord who traded with a PlayStation controller or an Xbox controller or something. And oh, if you're scalping and you know, you see it happening in the moment, that can help. For me, it helps me like not mix up numbers as much and stuff. Even though sometimes I swear in my brain, I'm just like, buy, and I just hit the red button on here. I'm like, oh, what did I do that for?
Damn
Wait
it.
A second. I just literally did the exact opposite thing I tried to do. Like,
yeah.
And I saw myself doing it in real time. But this does help me. Having the tactile buttons and the like the images on them and stuff, that does help me sometimes compared to just clicking on the screen. But Yeah, I think that's the gamifying it. I have this whole other idea, which I actually wanted to build this. I couldn't find anyone to build it with me, so I'll let it out here. Maybe someone else will build it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
You know, so it's funny because like someone talking about gamifying trading could be like something that could like come off the wrong way to traders, or traders could lean into it and be like, oh, it's just a game. It's just like points on a screen. And then other times a trader might really feel the other way of like, it's really not a game. You have to take it seriously. This is a business. And there's kind of a flexibility between those spaces as a trader. We can kind of, I feel like we can kind of feel both ways at different times, but actually trading as a game, I think would be fun. I like trading. So like, I always imagine like some sort of like Candy Crush game, except it's literally a free open market, an auction where you're like trading fish, and the chart could be like, I have the whole idea. So like, say like it's like funny assets. It's gotta be like a bone and a fish and like random things, maybe corn or something. I don't know, but it could be something funny like that. Actually, I already have this all written down somewhere. But so like, imagine a chart. This is how I imagine it. Imagine a chart with these colorful like fish on it, and you're trading fish, and you can only start with a very limited amount of things, and you have to trade your way up. And it's just an open platform of people trading versus each other, and the only way to rank up is to trade up your account. And you start with a very small amount, and then the chart is printed with like fish. So I kind of imagine like a book map, except it's showing the little fish and they're colored maybe with like the delta or whatever. And it could literally just be trading, but fully gamified, no money, and with like tennis balls. You know, it's like
you're, I'm with
like,
you.
I'm going to do tennis balls, and tennis balls are worth 4 fish right now. So you could even maybe trade tennis balls versus fish. There's only like 4 assets, and it's just a mobile game where you have a score. And like, I imagine even traders would love that. Like, anyone could like it. But then imagine like, we're a group of traders and we're like, well, okay, you made 10,000 today, but dude, I made 10,000 tennis balls today and I'm first place.
I don't think stop there. I think hook it up to real trading. Because, I mean, it's, if you're just trading with a DOM, you're pretty much, and clicking the mouse, it's a game. And yep, you have all of the trade management rules apply as if it's a strategic game. My idea, which is pretty unoriginal, is to turn it into an arcade-style game. Battleships, or what's the one where you have the little triangle ships shooting at each other?
Like, not Asteroid, the old
Space
arcade
Invaders.
Space Invaders.
Yeah. So you have, maybe you switch it from being a vertical DOM to a horizontal DOM, and, you know, each trade's a bullet firing at a ship, and the bigger the ship, the bigger the bid, or the bigger the offer, and you can, you know, you can, when you click the mouse, your little Space Invader bullet fires, and
they don't even know they're trading the Nasdaq, but Graham's behind the scenes copy trading the best guy or person, putting it straight into a live market while they're shooting battleships.
Well, it could take a lot of the psychological barriers out of trading, and you just have risk management behind the scene. I don't know. I reckon it's a worthwhile experiment. We should build it.
Yep.
Build trading, Candy Crush and Space Invaders. And
we have rules, right, when we trade. So all games are defined by the rules of the game. You know, even a simple platform game, like maybe you can't walk backwards, like in Mario.
Yeah.
And so there's always these rules that are kind of defining the playing field. And so in those ways, I do agree with the concept that...
Someone's probably working on it. There have to be. There's people working on all sorts of... Like, there's the virtual reality trading floor. I think I saw someone share a video of they've got their headset on, and I think they might have wasted this opportunity because they had their headset on, but all it showed was 6 trading monitors, which was it's a way to be mobile without carrying all your screens around, but you could have your headset on and be taken back to the pits.
Yeah, you have to actually write a ticket before you order in. You're like, oh no, I miswrote it.
Yeah. It's going to go there, especially with all the vibe coding. People can whip up whatever they want. So this could be your opportunity. Get into one of the vibe coding platforms and give it that that prompt. I want Candy Crush as a trading game. Done.
Yeah, actually, you have a point there. I've been using, I've been making code for like indicators and stuff. Like I'm like, oh, I want an opening range of this. I won't look for the indicator. I'll just use ChatGPT to make the indicator now for myself. It's pretty insane. Like a lot of
it's
times,
it's more efficient.
In two editions, I'll have a working indicator how I want it.
It's amazing where it's come.
Another thing with the gamifying is the competition side of it. So like when we're trading, we're really not competing with each other, right? We're competing with ourselves. But in the gamified version, you could also introduce competition. I know there are trading competitions out there, and to win them, people generally trade more aggressive and stuff.
Yeah.
But if it was a game, then that could also be a whole different motivating factor of it, of trying to be the best.
Well, the prop firms all have leaderboards, don't they, as well?
Yep, a lot of them do. Yep.
Yeah.
Which people ask to not be on them too. So there's probably some really good traders out there who actually aren't even ever showed up.
Yeah, they're just crushing it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
What prop firms are you trading with?
So I found Topstep, but they were one of the reputable ones at the time. And then since then I've traded on many different ones, but pretty much lately sticking to Topstep, Apex, Tradeify, Top One Futures, and what am I missing? I have a Take Profit Trader Pro too right now. So right now I'm funded about 22 funded accounts, I believe. And so I copy trade like groups of like three, but it's a really good way to split the risk trading multiple prop firms, in my opinion, from which ones, you know, you have your money sitting in those funded accounts waiting to get a payout, waiting to reach all of the requirements to get that payout, you know, profit goals, amount of days traded, consistency rules. So I think it's really good to spread it out for me, at least. While I'm not the most consistent, I'm still learning. Well, I'm consistent. I'm consistently like break even pretty much right now. So I'm really excited about the future of my prop firm accounts. And I've just been stacking small gains in them. And like I said, I have like 22 funded accounts right now. So I kind of spreading out the risk. Like this morning I took a big L. I went on tilt, but it was all held in this one account. That was a new account.
Yep.
You know, so even if I didn't even blow the account, but it was a $360 straight to fund it, Top One Futures account. It had a daily loss limit that saved me while I was on tilt. So I still have $2,000 in that account for Monday. So.
And you'll live to trade another day.
Yep. And even if I blew that account, I don't have to stress about it. And I made a video about it. I journaled it. And I think I actually grew from it. So.
And that's the important thing. And you're ahead of the curve doing this surviving six months, because it's such a transient industry. There's being able to at least get that screen time in is what I think is one of the prerequisites to getting over the bump with trading. And yeah. Traders who blow up and disappear in 1 month or 1 week, I mean, they were never going to make it. If you can get exposure to the markets, the longer, the better. And I've sat in a room with the owners of, this is before online prop firms took off. They were one of the biggest Australian prop firms. And it just caught my ear when one of them said, what do we know about how do we predict who's going to be successful? And there was consensus. They go, whoever's screen time, whoever's been around, turned up every day.
Did they actually have the statistics?
They would have had the statistics.
I never thought about that. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I was still thinking they'd have some strategic tech, like traders who traded this way or that way. And they said, no. I mean, their process was educate traders, give them trading drills, and fund them as soon as possible so they can learn to psychologically handle trading.
Yep.
But the way to predict the best statistic of who would make it was how much time they spent immersed in the market.
Yeah, and it's like we go through these times where we grow a lot as traders, right? And normally they're painful times. Sometimes they're really good times followed by painful times, you know. Some of the worst things we can do to really feel it is to like do really well and then give it all back, or round trip a really big trade or something like that. But I feel like a lot of my growing points have been from feeling, you know, a lot, like questioning everything about like, well, why am I doing this, and having big losses. And then it's really how we respond to those losses and how we keep going and then growing. Like with the prop firm space, when I decided to learn futures a little more than a year ago, I actually have pretty much traded every day, taking some days off, but almost every day, Monday through Friday. In the first 6 months, I did bell to bell every day.
Like a professional. I mean, you've got to treat it like a profession. Well, yeah. Kudos to you. And we appreciate that you're sharing this all on YouTube. I'm going to pull a random question or two out of thin air. And don't worry, I'll edit this as much as needed. So,
sure.
all right. So from a price squawk angle, what sound effect is missing? Like if I was to build one sound effect that tracked price action with pitch like the sounds can, what do you want to hear?
I guess for me, just first thing that pops in my head is something more ambient and tonal based. So something that if it is like a pitch based thing, you're saying like pitch with price, for example, right? Is that what you just said?
Yeah. So
like a sound to track the price, for example. Correct. I can imagine maybe some sort of ambient sound, like ambient sound, and maybe it's strings. So it's kind of like, it could even be changing. It could be within a key, but maybe it's changing in some way and getting higher in pitch or lower in pitch or speeding up or getting louder, you know? So it's like you start to hear it, or maybe there's some subtle change in it. I don't know. We're talking about adding instruments to it, but like maybe if price is going up, you hear the drums. If it's not, it's not, or something. But that's just what came to my head. Something ambient that's in the background that doesn't distract you, but it's always there.
Yeah. So you can shift your attention when you want to. You'd be like, all right,
exactly.
What do the sounds tell me?
And not just coming in and out. And maybe that's not exactly an answer to your question, but so maybe it would be like a synth, like adding a synth tone that can kind of just resonate in the background.
I can definitely follow that along with, I'll absolutely have to purchase a new synth to discover this.
It's a business expense, right? I don't know.
I only just discovered that in the last 2 years since my synth obsession has evolved. I'm like, oh, what can I get that I can sample into Price Squawk? And
is that a satisfying answer?
That is. That's actually really productive because...
Is it different than the other? Because you have more like individual sounds, right? That alert off like a drip or something.
Yeah, and I'm very unsatisfied with the sound effects in Price Squawk, which is a weird thing to admit, because there was never any strategy in evolving them. 10 years ago, I was like, "Oh, that's a cool sound. Let's bring that in."
Yep.
And it's all driven by sound fonts. And the sound font has just grown over the years. And I would love just to lock myself in a room and play with samples and really like produce some high quality sounds that drive Price Squawk. So I've got a TB-303, which is that classic bass. I don't have one of those. I've got an emulator of it, which is one of the classic bass lines used in electronic music, and I'd love just to get a full spectrum of sounds from that with different filters. And I mean, I could listen to that all day, but I know not everyone does.
It's hard. You have to have something that's not like for certain things. It has to alert you, you know. So there's sometimes a level of discomfort you need from a sound and an alert. Like, so I
but you don't want it to panic you either. I mean, the horror screens on, and I'm talking to you, Brian, who he our first podcast guest in many years, and he introduced Price Squawk to his trading group, and he has these horror sounds of screaming. I'm like, what are you thinking? No one's going to resonate to that, but each to their own. So, okay, so that was a very productive and useful answer. So pulling another final question out of thin air. Let me think here.
I have something in the meantime. If you have, like, I've tried to like tell people and no one can really get it unless you listen to Price Squawk, but the symphony, and maybe it's just with my particular squawk, but I don't have any other way to describe it, but at like market on close, for example, and sometimes market open or certain news events, but market on close, there's something so special about listening to the symphony of sounds coming from my squawk. And I have it set so basic. Like I said, it's just buy, sell. And the voice changes depending on how big the order is or if it's ES or NQ. And hearing them all coming in at the end, buy, sell, buy, yep. large order. I sometimes just listen to, I'm not in a trade, and there's something about it that is so amazing. And I want to show that to other traders sometimes. I'm like, you just need to listen to this. Like, have you ever just listened to the market? And that's something I've really been enjoying about Price Squawk.
Well, that tops any question I'm going to come up with. There's definitely something to trading a bit more musically, I think. And getting in tune with that symphony is, that's great. Well, Gabriel, where do people find you? So we've got Luna Trades is your YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's the best place to just come in and hop in live. I mean, you can always leave a comment or something there. So Luna Trades. I also have a smaller crypto channel. I started more recently. I've been doing my YouTube for 8 months now. So I have 8 months of live streaming on there. And so that's Luna Trades. And then I have Luna Trades Crypto on Twitter. It's Luna_Trades_. Same thing on Instagram, Luna_Trades_. And yeah, so you can find me out there. And yeah, I'm definitely available in the DMs or just leave a comment and can get connected.
Yeah, thanks. Well, we'll put your YouTube channel in the show notes, YouTube channels in the show notes. And yeah, keep it up. Thank you for joining me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That concludes my conversation with Gabriel from Luna Trades. I want to thank him for sharing his unique perspective on combining musical intuition with trading and for being so transparent about his journey learning futures trading while live streaming online daily. If you're intrigued by how audio cues might enhance your own trading, I'd like to introduce you to Price Squawk, a market sonification platform that transforms real-time market data into audio signals. Whether you're monitoring multiple markets simultaneously, looking to reduce screen fatigue, or searching for that extra edge in your trading, Price Squawk allows you to literally hear market movements the moment they happen. Our platform offers customizable alerts similar to what Luna described, filtering market orders by size and using different voices and sounds to distinguish between large and small trades. Like Luna, many traders have discovered that hearing the market's symphony adds a powerful new dimension to their pattern recognition and market awareness. You can load community patches, including Luna's setup, for hearing market orders in the NQ and ES. To learn more about Price Squawk and how it might fit into your trading workflow, visit app.pricesquawk.com, where you can explore our features, watch demonstrations, and even sign up for a free trial to experience the benefits of market sonification firsthand. If you want to follow Luna's trading journey, you can find him live streaming almost daily on his YouTube channel, Luna Trades, and you can also check out his custom trade timers tool at tradetimers.com. Links for these are in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please remember to subscribe to the Sound Trader podcast wherever you get your podcasts. In upcoming episodes, we'll be speaking with more traders who are using innovative approaches to gain their edge in the markets. Until next time, this is Graham, reminding you that sometimes the most valuable market insights aren't seen, they're heard.